Prague, you're the man. I love it when you do announcements. Such passion and excitement. It's always good to hear your voice up here. Welcome, everybody. I'm the pastor here. My name's Jason. If I haven't met you before, I know we have some guests visiting today for baptisms. We'll see one a little bit later on in the service. Some of the Roche family, we want to welcome you guys. Thank you for being here with us. We do miss Jeannie greatly. And we do have some information on the service for her that'll be next month. There is a calendar that I made and put out. It's on the back table back there. If you want to see Prague, you can grab one of those calendars for the events coming up in July, and also a few little extra ones that are coming up in August. So make sure you grab one of those on your way out so you can see what's going on. Jeannie's memorial service, the date is on there as well, August 26th. I believe. So if you want to be in the know on what events are coming out, go ahead and grab one of those. We'd love to see you at anything that's offered there. Some old friends, Christine, good to see you. Some new faces as well. So it's a good morning. I'm excited. I'm anticipating this series. We're jumping into a new series today. Did someone say dad? I'm hearing things. Oh my goodness. Thought I heard a kid. The dad ears. I've been praying through this service. I've been praying through this series. And I want to set it up. I want to preface it with a little bit of sensitivity towards what we're going to be talking about, because we're entering into a series called Religions of the World. In Religions of the World, I want to look at primarily four different strains of worldviews that people adhere to or believe in. But before I do that, I've been thinking about something to describe how we gather, who we are at Northgate, to kind of set the stage. If you're a visitor, if you're coming to visit us, to know who we are at Northgate, try to sum it up in a statement. This isn't like official, a vision statement or anything. This is just a thought I had in the last week about who we are. One word that you'll hear us say often is we are a family. We're a family at Northgate. But we are littered with brokenness. We're a dysfunctional family at times. There's lots of things that happen here that a lot of families experience, and that's just who we are. But we work through them. We're littered with brokenness, but we work through them, and we're doing life together as we follow Jesus. So hopefully, as you become more a part of Northgate, intertwined with the inner workings of the relationships that we have here, we like to visit each other in each other's houses. We like to hang out together. You'll probably see a lot of us at the brewery hanging out because we like to see our friends. When we see each other in the grocery stores, it's different when I see someone from Northgate that I know at the grocery store than when I see someone else from the community at the grocery store. There's like an instant connection where it's like, man, you are my brother. You are my sister. I enjoy doing life together, and we are following Jesus together. And we rely on the grace of salvation, okay? And we need grace for each other, and we're seeing that through Jesus for salvation. We depend on his Spirit to sanctify us, which means we've received, if you are a believer in Jesus, we've received the grace of Jesus. We've received salvation, and as we are growing and as we're deepening our faith in Jesus, he is sanctifying us through his Spirit, and then we place our hope in his imminent return. Meaning, as we are developing into firmer and stronger believers in Jesus through his word and through his Spirit, we are awaiting his return with hope. Okay? That is who we are as a church, as Northgate, as a people, and this is... I love the way that Anu says it. I've been talking to her the last couple weeks, and she calls us Christ people, right? We are Christ people. We are little Christ Christians is what that is, right? We are followers of the way, believers in who Jesus is. So I don't want to hoodwink you into thinking that when we start talking about these other religions of the world, that we accept them, but I want you to know where we stand. But I also want to give the sensitivity to those that we talk about who adhere to these other religions. And I want to do that because I don't believe someone believes in their worldview out of manipulation or out of Okay, let me rephrase that. I believe people adhere to their worldview, believe the things they do because they believe it's true. We don't believe the things that we believe unless we think they are true, unless we think they are the right way or the right path in this life, right? So this series, I started thinking about how we could present this about 6 months ago. I was reading a book. I forget the names. It's not Chuck and Larry. That's the movie. But it's like Rob and Gary Go to Church or something like that, okay? And I don't remember the two guys' names, but it's a story of a pastor who has a friend who's an atheist, and he says, hey, would you mind coming to church with me to give me your perspective on what you think about these different types of churches, right? So this pastor takes an atheist friend, and they visit 7 different churches throughout the nation, and he gives them honest feedback. And they look at, you know, they go from everywhere to a mega church of 10,000 people to a smaller church of 30. And the feedback that he gives them is eye-opening for the pastor. It was eye-opening for me, right? And the thing that the atheist believer or the atheist person expressed to the pastor was the church that I appreciated and respected the most was the ones that did not hide behind entertainment or production to get people into their church, but the ones that proclaimed boldly and clearly, this is who they are. That's why I wanted to start with this. I want to say very obviously and very clearly that we are a Christ people. We are followers of Jesus. With that, I want to look at these different religions. Today we're going to look at atheism and agnosticism, okay, versus the Jesus way, the Christ way, okay? That's what we're going to look at this week. Next week, Jim Todd's going to come speak to us on animism and spiritism in sort of his trip to Kenya and Uganda and how that might play a role in someone's worldview. And then we have another guest speaker who's going to talk on Hinduism and maybe Sikhism and give some testimony on how they've come and transitioned out of that into the Christ way. And then I'm going to do one other one probably on Mormonism, different religions that we see in our community all around us. And as I said last week, if you guys have questions throughout any of this, feel free to write them down or to email me, send a little note to Prague. Actually, if we don't have your email address, go ahead and see Prague. We'd love to get it on file so that I can communicate with you through that as well. Okay. So if you have questions, go ahead and write them out. All right, this should be fun. Let's go. Let's do this. I know this is hard to see, so Daniel's going to help zoom in on it a little bit. It's a big picture of worldview, okay? When we start talking about worldview, this is the way that people view life, and they have a different lens, okay? I have a friend at where I work who is an atheist. He's a good friend of mine, and we have awesome conversations. He has come out of the Catholic Church and is now an atheist, right? And I asked him the other day, so explain to me what it means to be an atheist. And he said, it's not that easy, right? He said, just like in Christianity, you have many denominations, in atheism, there's many different strains of atheism. I didn't know that. I thought atheism was simply not a belief in God. That's not necessarily true, okay? There's different pathways of atheism that people might adhere to. Just like we have Assemblies of God, or Baptists, Brethren, Pentecostals, Methodists, Episcopalians, all Christian in belief, but different practices, right? So we start with the question when we're looking at a worldview of, do you believe that God exists? If you believe that God exists, you'd go to the right and you'd say yes, and then you'd start traveling down that pathway. If you don't believe in God, you would go down and you would say no. If you say no, that you don't believe that God exists, right, that would put you into the term of an atheist. If you don't care, right, if you're like, I don't know if God exists and I don't care, they would call you an apatheist, okay? An apatheist, meaning like apathy, like whatever, I don't care. Or, I don't know, that's more of an agnostic, right? If you adhere to one of these, and I represent this wrong, feel free to correct me, okay? An atheist says no, an apatheist says I don't care, an agnostic says I don't know. Down this path of atheism, okay, the next question we would ask is meaning found, or meaning is found in the world? If you say no, there's no meaning in the world, there's no God, it doesn't matter, you're a nihilist, okay? If you say I don't care, right, you go back up to the apatheist. So no, there's not a God, and no, I don't care if there's any meaning in the world, you're apatheist. If you don't know, then you're an agnostic, right? Now, if you say, yes, there is meaning in the world, and this is kind of where my friend went down this route, and he said, yeah, I don't believe that there's a God, but I believe there is meaning found in the world. Is meaning found in experience? If you say yes, you're an existentialist, okay? If you say no, you go back the other way, and they start asking the question, is meaning found in humanity, right? If you think that meaning is found in humanity, you're called a humanist, all right? This is where my friend kind of lies. He doesn't believe that there's a God, but he calls himself a humanitarian, meaning he wants to do good things for people. He actually has a heart for, that's why he works with high school students that are in need, because he is a humanist. He wants humans to succeed, right? If you say no, and then you ask, is it in nature? You're a naturalist, if you say yes. If you say no, you ask another question. Is meaning found in each individual? No, then you have to ask the question, well, where do you find meaning? Right? There does come an end to all these questions, right? If you say yes, right, and you start to ask if there's meaning in each individual, there is relativism. This one is super popular right now in this generation, this next generation coming up. Because what people are starting and asking all of these questions is, where do I find my truth, right? And for self, if you're finding truth within yourself, there's a self-determination that is saying each person has a relative truth, okay? So this message is much more cerebral than my other ones, right? I tend to be a heart guy, but I also like to go to this cognitive part of our brain, okay? I want us to start thinking about truths. My firm belief is that whatever path you may declare as your path of belief system right now, if you continue seeking for truth, I believe you will find it. Okay, and I'll give you more reasons for that later. Daniel, can you go back up to the top real quick? Because that's our atheist strain. If you say that you are a believer in God, right, then you ask the question, well, do you believe in one God or many gods? Okay, when we get into Hinduism and some of our polytheistic religions, right, that's where that strain ends. If you say no, there is only one God, okay, then you start to answer these other questions. Is God in control of the world now? If you say no, you're a deist. If you say yes, okay, you go up to the top right, keep going to the right. God exists independently from the world. If you say yes, you keep going down this strain of theism, okay? In this strain is where you get your Muslims, right? Because they believe they're monotheistic religion as well. There is one God. And you start to answer the questions of theism, of how does God interact with the world, okay? Keep going down into this pathway. God is in everything in the world. No. If he's in the world or part of, or the world is part of God, then you're a panentheist, right? That God is in the world, like actually in this table, right? He's in the people. God is in the animals. That's a panentheist, okay? If you say no, then you start asking the question, well, what is God's relation to the world? Okay, there's more questions to be asked. If you are a theist, and can God be personally known? If you say yes, you start asking this question to the right a little bit more, Daniel. Can God, or God made himself known in the world through the man Jesus Christ? If you say no, right, that's when you start to ask the questions, well, which one of these other religions, who made God known? Was it Joseph Smith? Was it Muhammad? Was it Hare Krishna? You know, that's where you're asking these questions of how do you know God, right? If you say that salvation is found only through faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're a Christian theist, okay? This is where most of us are. If you say no, then we're asking the questions, how are you saved, okay? Big picture. I can send this graph to you guys if you want it. I'll send it out in an email so you can break it down and look at, or you can just Google it. It's someone else made this, okay? But I thought this was a great explanation for a big picture of worldview, atheism, agnosticism, theism. You guys got that? Okay, that's the cerebral part. I want to come at this from a perspective giving an atheist a good representation of how they might believe. Okay, next slide is a slide about the scale of belief. Within agnosticism and within theism, there is a subcategory of how strong their belief is in God, okay? So you have a statement of belief. If you say there are no gods, right? I don't believe it, then you would be considered a strong atheist, a Gnostic atheist, okay? If you say there are almost certainly no gods, I therefore don't believe in any gods, they'd call you a moderate atheist, and then so forth all the way down until you get to agnostic theism, or a weak theism, where you would say the existence of God is likely, so I'm willing to say I believe in a God. Okay? A moderate theism says there's almost certainly is a God, I therefore believe in a God. Or a strong theist would say there is a God. Absolutely, there is a God. Okay? My friend who's an atheist probably lies in this weak atheism or weak theism statement because he has a foundation in Catholicism, so he does say, I think there is a God, but I've been hurt and jaded by the church, so there is no God. He also has a hard time wrapping his mind around the theological point of hell because he doesn't understand how God could create someone with the foreknowledge that they would exist in sin and never repent and go into an eternal place of separation from God. Okay? It's a good question. Some of the questions that he asks me really makes me consider and think, why is it that I believe the way that I believe? So the question then turns to this. Why atheism? Why would someone believe this way? Okay? Came up with four different reasons. The first one is a lack of empirical evidence. Okay? In the modern generation, where science and scientific information started to become at the forefront of everybody's mind, they want proof. Okay? This is when atheism really started to take off. Some of you may be in this position where you've had to answer the questions of friends or family members that have said, well, prove it. Prove that God exists. Right? You can't prove to me that God exists. Show me him. Where is he? Right? Those are the questions that might be asked of somebody who claims to be an atheist because there is a lack of empirical evidence. Where is God? Where is he? Right? The next one would be that somebody might be angry at God. I believe this is where my friend lies. He's angry at God. He says, God, I'm a humanitarian. I want to see life succeed. I want to see people succeed. I want to see my community flourish, right? How could God create a man like Hitler, right? If you believe that God is the creator of all things, he created Hitler, right? How could someone with such a heinous, ugly heart, doing all of this sinful activity, how could God allow this man with the foreknowledge of everything that he would do exist? Therefore, God, how could you do that? Right? The next one would be negative church experience. A lot of times, this is what happens. I believe if we are created, coming from a Christian perspective, God creates us, He is our creator. Every created being, every creature has a longing to know the creator. And I think people oftentimes start out with this question of, how do I know my creator? And when they go to look for him, they go to the church. What happens when the church lets you down? And the church betrays you. The church cheats on you. The church beats you. The church abuses you. In the last 50 years, we've heard more and more stories of terrible sins that have happened in the Christian church. And so people will look at the church and say, why would I want to be a part of that? Why would I want to be a part of an organization that abuses their own people? And the last one, like I said earlier, is self-determination. If we're looking for answers, it must be within ourselves. If God doesn't exist, it's got to exist somewhere. So it must be in here. Okay. That is the why atheism. Now I want to turn it. Okay. Hopefully you have a cognitive understanding, a little bit better picture of why someone might be an atheist. Now I want to give you a response from a Christian perspective. Okay. As a Christian, how do we talk to someone who might be an atheist? Here's the first ones. If someone is looking for empirical evidence, if they want to see the existence of God and they want proof, there are way smarter guys out there that have written books that I would point them to. Lee Strobel wrote Evidence That Demands a Verdict. If you're looking for empirical evidence or proofs, there's scientific information out there that you can look at and walk down this road within the framework of a scientific mindset where you can say, this would be really hard to exist without somebody divinely creating it. The intricacies of our body, right? The scriptural verse that we have of this, if you go to Matthew chapter 6, right? He starts to explain, if you look to the birds of the air and ask them, right? Or the lilies of the field, and they're turning and they're spinning, they will tell you of the existence of God. There is a revelation of God in everything that we see. There is people, there is nature, right? All of these things that point to a divine creator. Scientifically, when you look at it, there is no other explanation other than divine creation, right? That there is a maker who has created these things. Now, with a true atheist, right? It says that God doesn't exist. Coming at it from a Christian perspective, it's not going to convince them. Okay? A true atheist will not be convinced by your scientific expanding of the divine creation. Okay? Because ultimately, it will come down to a faith element. Right? You can't create faith in someone, but it's the same as the term. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't have them drink. Right? You can point to it all day long. Ultimately, what's going to have to happen, though, is God's going to have to do the work on their heart. If someone is angry at God, my recommendation is to listen. Listen, relate, and then reveal. If we're listening to the stories of an atheist, I listen to my friend all the time. How could God do this? Like, man, I don't know. I don't know why God allowed Hitler to be created and this heinous activity to happen. I don't know. I'm not God, right? I relate with that because I myself, I'm a humanitarian in ways as well. I want to see my community thrive. I want to see the church thrive. I love people. Wrapped up in humanitarian really is the great commandment to love God and to love others, right? We love people. So I can relate with a humanitarian because I want you to succeed. But if we are to show an atheist that we're different in being a Christ people than not believing in God, we have to be willing to pray bold prayers to reveal who God is. Ultimately, the thing that separates a Christian from a humanitarian is that God interacts with his people. I think oftentimes we lack in this part as believers because we're afraid to offer these bold prayers to say that God will do this. And I think of the stories of like Elijah facing against the prophets of Baal, right? When they're praying to their gods that they would sacrifice this thing, and Elijah had to come up and say, God, douse that first. All you guys, douse that with water. I'm going to pray to God that he's going to send down fire from heaven and light this thing up. That's a bold prayer, right? And I honestly believe that sometimes what it's going to take for an atheist to finally see God is a revelation of his supernatural power in a way where someone is miraculously healed or someone is miraculously shown the evidence of his empirical data that he is the scientific creator of the universe. Oh, an awesome response to an atheist is to listen, right? To relate and to reveal. If someone has had a negative church experience, repent. Repent. The church hurts people. We hurt people. If any of you have ever been abused by the church, neglected by the church, betrayed by the church as a representative of the church, I repent. I've been a part of hurting people. I probably will hurt more people in decisions that I've had to make, that I will have to make. I'm sorry. I have not been a good representative of Christ at times because I've acted in my flesh. I've done things that are not right, that are sinful, and I need God to redeem me. If we have done that to someone else, we need to do the same example. Go to them and repent. In that, we are acting in the way of Jesus and saying, I am not perfect. I am not a perfect representation of Christ, but he is, and he loves you. And if you've been hurt by the church, he still loves you, and he wants to redeem you and your church experiences. If you know someone who's been negatively affected by church experiences and they're angry at God because they're angry at the church, it's your responsibility to go to them and love them by showing them repentance. The last one, self-determination. If somebody is looking for truth within themselves, right, we need to show them by modeling our lives what it looks like to have a relationship with Jesus. They will know that you are Christians by your love. By your love. This is the greatest and most impactful difference to show an atheist what it means to be a Christian. By your love. They will know that you are Christians by your love. So we show them a relationship with Jesus in the way that we live our lives. We listen to you. We relate with you. We hear you. But we know that there is something much deeper in this world than relativism, than nature, than any other form of science, and it is a true relationship with the God Almighty. If you have that, let people know that. All right. We have someone this morning, if you want to go ahead and bring some of the children in. We have a student, you probably know Logan has made a commitment to follow Jesus with his life, right? He's entered into this point where he said, I believe in these things. I believe in Jesus. I believe in who he is. And I believe what he's done for us in his death and resurrection from the cross. And in doing this, he wants to make a public declaration of faith today by being baptized. Atta boy. So you guys can go ahead and come on up here. And if you are new to the Brethren Church or if you're visiting, we do baptism. As my son calls it, baptism. It is it's baptism with a P. And in the Brethren Church, we baptize three times forward as a representation of kneeling before Jesus in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So with him today are his parents, Lizzie and Sam, and they're gonna.
Okay. I'll just wait a I'm going to ask you some questions, Logan. Okay. All right. So first one, do you believe that you are a sinner and in need of salvation?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and do you accept him as your saving Lord?
Yes.
Do you believe the Bible to be the Word of God, and do you accept its teaching as authoritative?
Yes.
And do you now solemnly surrender your life to your Lord and his service, and will you endeavor by God's grace henceforth to live worthily in his sight?
Yes.
All right. All right. Come closer. All right. So Logan, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Five, who God is in our lives and the personal relationship we have with him. Logan has a testimony of that. You want to share that? Just real quick. I'm putting you on the spot, I know, but who is Jesus to you?
Jesus is our Lord and Savior.
Attaboy. All right. Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and to him that is real, and he has that personal relationship. He shared that with us, and we want to pray with him, and the family's going to come up and join. So if you guys would, just join us in a prayer. We're going to pray for Logan. He's like my son's best friend, so we're super excited. All right, let's pray. God, I thank you so much for Logan. I thank you for his testimony of relationship with you. God, that he knows the divine creator of the world. That he has a personal relationship with you because of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And he wants everybody to know of the goodness of your love. And so his public declaration of faith today, God, I pray that he would be bold in sharing his relationship with you, the love that he knows, the family that he has that surrounds him with this love, and who Christ is in his life, in his heart, and in his walk with you through the rest of this life. God, I pray that you would bless him, anoint him with all the gifts that you have for him, and may he be a powerful young man to grow up in the church to represent you and all that you've done. We pray this, Lord, in your name. Amen. All right, buddy. All right, with that, if you guys want to come up and give him a hug, congratulate him. We love you all. Happy July. If you guys don't have a place on the 4th, make sure you go over to Lizzie's house, and we will see you guys next Sunday. All right, have a good week.